there's all this stuff I can do that can meet all of these different needs. It can meet my need for stability and security, and that's what, and all I've got to do is just be miserable for a year, and then maybe it'll happen. That's all I've got to do, is work really, really hard for a year. And it's great that you're ambitious. You probably won't hit it. So it's probably going to take you 3 years, but then, you know, you're really going to get there and everything will be great.
Brendan badgers Mark with questions about morning creative, burnout, and the need to perform. It's episode 20 of Convergence, Everything You Know Is Wrong.
I have so much I want to talk to you about, mostly about Morning Creative and what's going on with that and your life and everything. But first, I want to touch on just one little thing real quick. It's not quite a correction, but follow up for my little bit of veganism rant-ish stuff from a previous episode. I feel like I was probably a little bit controversial about that. I want to say it first. I was a vegan for 7 years, and primarily, I got into it primarily for the animal rights stuff, but also I had some bad fast food, and I thought it was the meat, and that just kind of made me sick with that, and so I decided to just go extreme because I do that, and then also like I got really into the environmental issues of it. And kind of got wrapped up in the whole, the very surface level ideas of how veganism is good for animal rights and environmental issues and health. Since then, I've learned so much more about all of that and have dug a little bit deeper than surface level and just believing the hype. And, you know, like there's merit to it at first when you think about like, oh, yeah. Not eating animals is good for animals. Like, yeah, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. It makes sense. However, like, there's so much more to it than that. Like, factory farming, like we talked about last time, like, that's out of the picture. That's just brutal. That's just gross. Mm-hmm. It's unhealthy. It's unhealthy for the animals. It's unhealthy for humans. And there's so much wrong with it. But when the meat is pasture-raised from regenerative farms, like, that's good for the environment, that's good for the animals because they live a good life, that's good for us because we're eating good quality foods, and we're omnivores. Like, we're meant to eat meat protein, aside from the fact that there's essential proteins that we need from animals. We're just built for it in general. Then you made a little comment about extrapolating my analogy, or my egg idea of calling it vegan, which I know it's not vegan. I know vegans, it's not vegan. I'm just playing around. But you extrapolated like, oh, the milk of a cow could then also be considered vegan by that same token. And I kind of agreed with you, but then I gave it a little second thought, and I was like, well, actually, because the cow has to be put into a pregnant state. They have to be forced into being pregnant constantly, both to produce more cows, but then also for them to be in the milk producing.
Of course they do. I hadn't thought of that. Of course they do.
Yeah. So it's actually, you know, not quite the same, but
no.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
If you had your own cow or goat on your property and, you know, a pair of them, and they made it and they had kids and there's milk to be had, like, yeah, go for it. Like, free milk, wonderful. It's a, you know, stock up and make some ice cream or whatever, you know. But like, it's having it all the time, it wouldn't be the same. All right, that was all I wanted to tap into. Do you have any comments or thoughts on that?
No, I didn't really have that many thoughts beforehand. I had thoughts, yeah, I just wasn't voicing them. So I'm continually happy in that space.
Wonderful. Great.
I have no public opinions.
Perfect. Good. Smart move.
Yeah. You will always be wrong about everything. Or not everything.
Yes.
Something. In someone's eyes, you are always going to be wrong.
Mark Stedman, you will always be wrong about everything.
Yeah. Everything you know is wrong.
Black is white, up is down, and short is long. Oh, Weird Al, so good.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, you know, I didn't realize I was wrong about feminism by having being a feminist. That was wrong.
Yes.
And I did, you know, it's like, it's just, it's sometimes, it's not, it just, I just, I'll skip it.
It's complicated. It's all complicated.
And then sometimes I'll blunder into something and go, oh no, I didn't realize I had an opinion and it was wrong. But for now, I'm going to, yes. No, I appreciate that. Thank you. Good. Good. Very good follow-up. Very diligent follow-up.
Thank you. So I want to talk to you about Morning Creative. Okay. I want to know what's going on. And I have both a bunch of thoughts that and notes that I've written down I want to ask you about now. So I just want to hear from you about what's going on.
Okay. Thank you. What I think might make sense is to put things into a sort of historical context as to where we are now.
Yeah.
March the 15th, 2024. At the moment, I have not put out a Morning Creative episode for a week and a day, I think. So I think I am 6 days behind. What was a daily show, what has been billed as a daily show, starting at the beginning of November 2023. I hadn't missed a day up to about episode 73. And what happens, purely from a historical context, free of judgment to begin with, to set the scene, is I had some ideas about wanting to make the podcast have an appeal to strangers that weren't listening because they knew me and thought that I was nice. And so there was a lot to there's a lot to sort of figure out to try and make this a compelling show to a stranger. And why I thought that was important, we can get to at another stage. There were reasons, but there we go. And so I was motivated to do that. And so we talked a week or so ago about my new description for the show and the plans therein. And so I, with great fervor and and steely determination, I don't know why I'm speaking in this way, I set about to record the first of these new episodes. And I was getting a voice in the back of my head that was going, I think I hate this. And I was like, no, you don't. No, no, that won't be it. That's not it.
Try again.
try wrong thought, try again. Yeah. No, it will be that you are trying something very different and there isn't a path. This isn't unlike anything you've done before. You don't know how to navigate it. It's all very different and there's upper limit stuff. Like, those are all the reasons. You don't hate it, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
No, no.
Mm-hmm.
So doing another episode. And I was like, I think I hate it. No, 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 no. Same again. Let's check again.
It's just new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I get to Wednesday or Tuesday night to get the episode ready for Wednesday.
Sure.
And I get to a moment where I'm sat down and it's been a long day already and I'm still 2 days out of having done my stand-up set. Which,
we haven't talked about it yet.
Mistaken, was only 10 days ago, or not that many days ago.
Which was amazing.
Thank you. That's nice.
I loved it. Margaret and I both laughed out loud and quoted to each other, and it's really great.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the adrenaline of that, which I was telling myself, like I knew that would partly have been the case, which is why I didn't want to make any sudden moves. And then Wednesday, I got this sensation that I think we may have talked about before as well, where I just was pushing through and pushing through, and that sensation just made me feel a little bit sick to my stomach or a little bit sick in my mouth. And I thought, okay, cool, right, bodily signal, let's listen to the body. I think I hate this. And so got on the mic straight away and just did something very different.
Yeah.
And that is where we are.
That's where we are.
Yeah. Questions. I'm sure you have them.
I do. Man, okay, where to start?
I don't feel good about this, by the way. Just, you know, like all of it doesn't feel great. But hey, here we go.
Elaborate. What doesn't feel great?
There's, you know our stories and you know our whole things. And there are personal stories that I'm fighting with.
Yeah.
And you know, potentially unhelpful stories that mm-hmm. I'm telling myself or whatever mm-hmm. that sort of mm-hmm. pop in and have their say. So like there is a bit of conflicting stuff there, but I'm just trying to be gentle with myself throughout the process. So yeah, hit me.
Cool. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you meant like me asking you.
No. I mean, which, it's probably not going to feel great, but you know, for me, I am, as the kids say, here for it.
I really hope it's actually, I really hope it makes you feel better and not worse. Episode one of this podcast, you revealed a podcast that you never started, that you were super excited about and had a great idea for and pumped and then realized it wasn't a good fit. I can't remember why. I feel like there was a hint of burnout kind of feeling before getting into it. Like it was going, like you knew it was going to burn you out, kind of a feeling. That feels a little bit like me putting words in your mouth. So let me know if that's wrong.
No, that's not wrong. What I think might be useful to as more context setting, and it may have a bearing on what you want to talk about. I had a drinking game. Last week, I had a conversation with Anna. And
Hi, Anna.
We got into one of the aspects of nonviolent communication,
mm-hmm.
which is the identification of basic human needs. So within NVC, there is this universal, universal feelings list, and there are sort of needs attached to these feelings. And, you know, we need to feel these, or we want to avoid certain other feelings. There's also a list of things that get misidentified or misattributed as feelings, but are actually judgments. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. as an example, we have main categories: happy, engaged, excited, affectionate, and peaceful. Those are sort of five main experiences or feelings that are positive. And then we have categories for negative, which is tired, sad, disquieted, afraid, disappointed, vulnerable. Actually, there's a few more. There's more than five on either side. And then underneath,
there's so many ways to feel bad.
So many ways to feel bad. There's actually loads of ways to feel good as well. There's way more than five.
Yeah.
But then there's subcategories into each one of those. So as a very, very quick example, one of the categories is inspired. And then you've got amazed, awed, and wonderstruck as three different feelings. Mm-hmm. And so what I was sort of mapping this to is sort of feelings and needs. So there is a need for me to perform. There is a need for me to connect with other people. I think I hadn't realized. I've been thinking a lot about 2019, and we may get onto some other things that happened in 2019 as well that may be returning. A lot of stuff happened in 2019, and I was like, I was out in the world. I was Mark out in the world doing stuff, out in the big bad world with all his bundle of stuff and meeting people and going to events and talking to strangers and performing in front of people and all sorts of things and getting therapy and all sorts of other things. And then 2020 hit and we all had to stay indoors. And I don't think I realized that made that much of a difference. I mean, I'd sort of shut myself off a little bit for a short amount of time and then was just about getting ready to re-enter the world when we were all told to stay indoors.
Yeah.
And then I realized I had a whole bunch of powers and abilities that I didn't realize I had. And it just so happened that the way I was delivering those was remotely. It just so happened that the way I was delivering those was over Zoom. And a number of things kind of came together to really get me to a point. Because I think one of the modes that I got into, and I don't know how this was for you, possibly very different because of the nature of your work being very different.
Yeah.
But in 2020, there wasn't anything other than work for me. because there was no outside world. There was no improv. I'd already quit improv anyway due to reasons. But even if I was still there, like, we wouldn't have been doing it. I don't think any of us would have wanted to have done it over Zoom, because that just feels hideous. We weren't, you know, there was all this stuff that we weren't doing, and so work filled all the spaces. And it continued to fill all the spaces, and it kind of needed to fill all the spaces. And I'm actually at a really interesting point now, where, like, 3 years into the sort of business that I effectively had to start from scratch after selling the previous one, thinking that there would be some kind of carry through, and that there wasn't really. It's been 3 years, and I'm basically set. Like, I'm basically fine. The business is kind of stable. And there is, for the moment, and, you know, ebbs and flows and all that stuff, but for the moment, there is more work than I can handle, which is a nice place to be in.
Yeah.
And that hasn't been the case for 3 years. And I've been trying to make it the case, and I've been trying to find all sorts of things. And so, to bring it back to needs and feelings, what I've spent a lot of time, I think, doing is looking for work-related projects, because work was everything, and work is everything, and work is the thing that fills all the spaces. I've been trying to find things within work that can fulfill some of these needs. And so there is a need to talk to people and to hear ideas. Yeah. There is a need to perform. There is a need to create. The podcasting and the various other projects that I've done can meet some of those needs, but it can't meet all of them. And that's been the problem. And so what ends up happening is I try and find ways that the project can meet these needs, and then start. And then if it can't meet those needs, it's like, well, what's wrong then? Instead of trying to find those, meet those needs elsewhere in the outside world, for example, I'm going, well, I've obviously screwed up because it's not meeting my needs, without sitting down and really thinking about what are the things that I want? What are the things that I need as a human being? You know, how do I need to feel, basically? One of the things I think, you know, with creative workflows, which was the podcast that never was, and actually I've got an email from someone, it's the first one of these where I've got to sheepishly reply and say, hey, yeah, I know you gave me an hour of your time, I don't know what I'm going to do with that audio, I want to do something with it. But yes, I sort of got to a point where I was like, I think I didn't have the language for it necessarily, but it wasn't meeting those kinds of needs, and I knew it was going to take up a lot of time, and there were certain needs it wasn't meeting. And then with Bramble shutting, it sort of didn't feel right. So that kind of maybe gives you sort of a sense of maybe a bit of my mindset now.
Yeah, for sure. And I was bringing that up a little bit because of the feeling of burnout nature of it. And definitely, like, I'm getting burnout vibes from your new shift in Morning Creative. I think that you may have even used that word in the two episodes that you did afterwards, which I love. Those ones, like the openness and honesty and just frank nature of it, you are just so good at delivering that. I liked one thing you said. It was like being on the forefront of Mark's mind.
Yes.
And I love that bit. Like, it's just happening and it's coming out, and like, we're all experiencing it with you. And I thought that was great. And I think that there's an interesting aspect of that with the creative processes, which is what you're trying to help people with. And I have this image of, it's not the ship of Theseus where the boat is getting rebuilt as it's going and becoming a new boat, but it's the same boat. You're building the boat on its maiden voyage. Like you're figuring out where all the pieces go as you're also trying to ship it. You know, while that's beautiful, that's going to come with complications and struggles and challenges. And what I wanted to say around that is, like, with my expectation that you're kind of feeling like maybe you have failed or have, you use the words, like, episodes that you've missed, or you're behind, you said behind. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, sure, you're free to feel that way, but also, like, you're still figuring this out. Like, it's not a fully baked product that you're then putting out in the world. You're building it as you're putting it out.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. And unless you have comments on that, I have one more thing to
I don't know how it is with other people, but I think some people can talk about recognizing the signs. And I've, ironically enough, have edited an episode of another podcast by a client who has talked about the signs of burnout. And I feel, probably not uniquely, but I feel specifically like I'm very bad at knowing when burnout is happening, because it doesn't feel like there's a deceleration. It feels like the car just keeps going, and then bam, it hits a wall at exactly the same speed as it was going before.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, I've been describing it to people as a crash more than a burnout. That's the word I've been using, is sure. I crashed, because it felt very sudden. And
yeah.
I think it is, you know, a form of burnout, but I didn't, maybe the signs were there, but they came too quickly, or I was ignoring them because I was just powering through or whatever. But I think, just kind of just to say, yes, I can sort of cop to it being burnout, but just have no ability to know when it's coming.
To see it coming. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting and good to know about yourself. Interesting. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like when I've the lead up to burnouts that I've experienced and what would have helped me recognize it or not. I'll have to think about that, because I can't really think of anything at the moment. But I mean, oftentimes I wonder a bit if this is a nine thing. I still just power through burnout because I feel like it's my job to do that. I'm just like, I have to, like, no one else is going to do it. This has to be done.
There's a responsibility
for some. Yeah.
Can't disappoint.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I'm going to analyze that in an Enneagram way as well. I've been thinking a lot about your situation from the TBM perspective, and I have some thoughts to run by you about that, and we'll get there. But yeah, back to the burnout of Morning Creative, the new types of episodes. A tangent before I get there. Those were really fun. Those were really cool. Like it was a very interesting type of episode. Double tangent. I actually kind of wonder if that would be a fun, like if it doesn't, if you do continue with Morning Creative, that could be an interesting type of episode that comes occasionally, like maybe once a week, once a month, or something like that. I felt, as listening to it, I enjoyed it deeply, but then listening to them like every day was actually a little bit much.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was as a bit much for me as the listener as it also was a bit too much for you as the producer.
Yeah. I think the idea, which I think is, which is sound, is I want to create a dedicated space in the day for the listener to spend maybe just half an hour with their creativity. So on those days where they can't make it work, you know, and so that was kind of the thing. And that was the thinking behind it. But I think you're absolutely right that it doesn't have to be every day. I can really like hard screw myself into a routine sometimes. Like I can really like nicely embed myself into a routine. And so having the podcast have your back in that regard is kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It's like you get up and you have your moment, you do what you need to do, and then you sit for half an hour or, you know, however long it is, and there's that time there. And that's kind of the thinking.
I did find that while I was listening to it, I was either engaged with the part before and after the meditation, or I was not disengaged, but I was kind of, you know, in the meditation and kind of relaxed. Neither time of which I felt like actually creating or writing. And I had gone into it with the impression of like, I'm kind of writing and creating while listening, which is maybe a different idea than you intended, but that was kind of the idea that I had understood. So I was like, oh, I don't really feel like that's working for me.
Yeah.
But so to get to the thing I keep avoiding, what it felt like, and this was because you were trying to branch out to a wider audience. You were trying to find a broader appeal, as you said.
Almost a narrower understood. Appeal, like to actually like focus in on who the show is for, as opposed to just people who know me and who I occasionally meet and they...
Right. Oh, one thing that you'd mentioned on the transition episode was that you didn't want to create burnout for the listener.
Yeah.
That you were aware that you thought that you were too much, that you could be too much, and so that you wanted to change. Well, so you shifted the burnout from the listener to you by trying to be something different. And one thing that you'd mentioned early on, maybe episode 3-ish, is that the thing that you want to try and do is have Mark as a service. Like you just want to be you and have that kind of be great. If you're trying to change yourself to be palatable, then you're not being you as a service, which is also you, but it's also not you. And just bits of food for thought. Like I've kind of been feeling a bunch of stuff from you. And that was a majority of my feedback, I think. Let's see. Being on the forefront of Mark's mind. Two other quick little thoughts I had about Morning Creative. I don't really know how to say it. I have two notes that says, one says making people happy, and the next note says making yourself happy. And I don't know how to elaborate that more into sentences, but I wonder where the line is between like trying to make others happy and trying to make yourself happy. Like you can't, for one thing, you can't make anybody else happy. Plus one of your post New Venture episodes was a bit on happiness and like the pursuit of happiness and that kind of stuff. I loved you were talking about how happy people are kind of hard to bear. You use different words, but they were. And I didn't think that you were talking about me, but I did feel like I am one of those happy people. Like I feel happy all the time, and it comes from within. I've learned the secret. I definitely would recommend to anybody in their pursuit of happiness to read The Mystic Path to Cosmic Power by Vernon Howard. That book, for those who are already into the enlightened path a little bit and they have some okayness with the woo-woo, then it can be a great guide. It's got some great tools in there. And you know, a lot of it is just like you read it for what it is, but just take the tools, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's not your job, and it's also impossible for you to make other people happy, but you can make yourself happy just by realizing that you're alive, you're okay, you're doing what you want to do for the most part. And even the things that you don't want to do, they have a certain joy to them, a certain experience. Anyways, that's kind of the way I think about it.
Yeah, thank you. So this Wednesday, I went to a free asterisk comedy night at the place I used to do improv and where I learned improv. The asterisk is basically that it is free, but on the way out, put some money in the bucket.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised at the standard. It was really high. I later was informed that acts have to do 200 shows before they can play this one.
Whoa.
I guess, you know, because they want to make sure that people have committed and show commitment. And that's brilliant. Yeah. And so there were three very different comics and they were great and really, really enjoyed them. Had, you know, some big belly laughs and all, you know, really, really good. And I went to as I was on my way home to get the bus, I rounded the corner, went to a little chip shop and got a couple of scallops, which I don't think I ever managed to treat you to.
No, we did not.
I really messed up there.
We'll come back.
Yeah. We'll do it again. It's only in certain parts of the UK that they do these. And it's basically a potato cake. It's just a flat potato you know, a flat disc of potato that is then deep fried in batter.
That sounds great.
Hey, my God. And it's the perfect kind of, it's a great like little portable way homer, you know, it's just because you just get the little, it's in the little thing and you just, you know, off you trot and it's, you know, salty and vinegary and gets all the, you know, it's all the good stuff. And so I ate those while I was waiting for the bus, got on the bus, got home, and I just had this real sense of this was brilliant. And I get to do this every week now because they're on every week.
And what a fun tradition.
Yes. It just felt so good to be back in that kind of zone again.
Yeah.
Of here's, you know, here's a regular thing. I just go and attend it. I see some people I know. I see some, you know, see some new stuff, have a scallop. And then it just felt really great to be out in the world in that way again. In a way that I sort of hadn't recognized before.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about happiness and things like that, one of the things that I've been thinking about and it is, you know, part of it is needs. A lot of what I've done has extended from this idea that I have to market the business.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to market myself. I've got all this stuff. And what if I didn't? It's sort of a question I think we've kind of come to before.
Yeah.
What if there wasn't a big thing? What if there wasn't a big, like, what if there didn't need to be a big project to aim for?
Yeah.
What if I didn't need to be like Sisyphus and roll a boulder up a hill?
Right.
What if I just found happiness and fulfillment outside of work? Boom! What if that happened?
Uh-huh.
In the way that it kind of felt in 2019, where the business was ticking along. Yeah, there could have been more I could have done, but it was fine. And like, I really did not have my hand on the tiller very much, particularly the sort of last three quarters of the year, it feels like, because I was doing a lot of List Envy stuff. I was doing a lot of improv stuff. I was doing a lot of other stuff. I wrote a kid's book, you know.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And you know, really, for the most part, Podient just needed, let's just check in on it every day and make sure everything's working fine. And yeah, I did some bits, but like, you know. And at no, like, I wasn't spending all that time going, I need to do more. You know, there would have been moments where I did, but like, not to the degree that it has been like for the last 3 years or 4 years even.
Yeah, a bit more grindy.
And so to recognize, to finally have recognized in the last week or so, and other things have made me recognize this as well, I think the business is okay.
Amazing.
I think it's actually okay. And to go back to a Hitchhiker's reference, like, it's certainly going to be better if I stop fiddling with the controls.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, focus on doing good work and being around and letting work come to me, because word of mouth is not only a legitimate channel of inquiry, but also, you know, the best one that you can hope for, because it comes for free.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, that's happening. And so, what, like we've talked about before, like we talked about in a very early episode, maybe even episode one, the thing I keep coming back to is none of my marketing has ever brought me any work.
Mm-hmm.
It really hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. And so, like, that's where some of these projects come in. But like, Morning Creative felt like it could have been its own thing, in a way that, like, what started as a simple project then became, wow, there's all this stuff I can do that can meet all of these different needs. It can meet my need for stability and security, and that's what, and all I've got to do is just be miserable for a year and then maybe it'll happen. That's all I've got to do. It's work really, really hard for a year, and then maybe it'll happen, but it probably won't happen, even knowing this, like genuinely, like that's the goal, but it probably won't happen because that's an unrealistic goal you've set there, Mark. You've set a really like ambitious target, and it's great that you're ambitious. You probably won't hit it. So it's probably going to take you 3 years, but then, you know, you're really going to get there and everything will be great. And it's like, what if I didn't though?
Mm-hmm.
What if I was making enough money and I had a couple of good ideas and I told people about them when I had good ideas? I think they call that marketing. Mm-hmm. I focused on being happy and
yeah,
finding that stuff outside of work.
Yeah. That was a lot. I'm trying to digest it all. I've got questions about what the future of Morning Creative looks like, which,
yeah,
you know, that's always a question for every day. Like,
yeah,
you know, it changes all the time, and that's,
I have no answers,
beautiful and wonderful. Yeah. Okay. And that's great. A moment ago and earlier in this conversation, you mentioned some needs that you need to have fulfilled.
Mm.
One of the needs that you mentioned twice was the need to perform.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about that one. Like, what that means for you. And then also I also want to check in with you about TBM, and I feel like this might be a good way to enter into it by asking you about your need to perform through the lens of your authentic code, which I wrote down from previous episodes as warmth, expression, movement, and play.
Mm.
And I wonder which, if any, perform falls into
expression and play.
Cool. I was wondering, expression, that one made sense, and play also makes sense as well. Cool. I kind of want to hear more about what this need to perform is like for you. What, how does that present for you, and what do you feel about it?
I think I discovered it in 2018.
Okay.
So I started the improv course that I was doing in back into 2017 and finished the first level. Or as part of finishing the first course, we were invited, or encouraged, I should say, to attend the live shows that the house team did. So, you know, there's a house team of people who were formed maybe from other members of the course, or people who were just like got in at the ground floor. And so they're the main stable of performers. And so they did a show every Tuesday, or I think it was every Tuesday. And so the encouragement was, come along to one of those shows and do, I can't remember what they call it now. Do they call it a drop-in? Something like that, where the house team will perform and they'll do their stuff. And then right at the end, there's a section where anyone who wants to can come up and have a play with the team.
Hmm.
And so as people on the course, we were encouraged to do that, almost like an open mic equivalent kind of thing. So anyone who feels feels so moved can come up and have a play. And so I did that, and I got home and I was like, wow, I didn't realize that was something that I really, really wanted to do and want to do more of. Improv especially, like, it's so playful.
Yeah.
And the kind of improv that we did, especially, it is so, there is so much play, and it's just fun. And you also get to do it in front of an audience and hear them laugh and hear when they don't laugh and then try and find the funny again and all that stuff. And so much of that I had not anticipated when I started the course, because I wanted to do the course to help me think quicker, to help me think sort of a bit more agile and also, you know, like meet people and get out of the house and stuff. And so that was, you know, what I did it for originally. And then I discovered this whole thing that, like, oh, now I want this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I didn't realize this is something I wanted. Now I do. And so after finishing the next level of the course, there was a whole thing to then, like, be invited onto the house team. And I remember being sat here waiting with so much anticipation as to whether I was, you know, going to get a Facebook Messenger message to tell me whether I was in the house team or not. Like, it was so big.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that I didn't realize. And it was a big part of 2019 because we were rehearsing every week with the team that I ended up co-forming with one of the people that we actually you managed to meet when you were over here. So every week we were rehearsing and doing stuff and having fun. And there were times there where I've like never laughed so hard. And then every month we'd go and do our residency, and man, it was it met some needs that I didn't realize were there, and so those have been missing. And I think while stand up, I think, you know, doing the kinds of podcasts I do, like a mixture between Morning Creative and List Envy, allow me to perform. This is a very different kind of show that meets different, you know, other needs. But that play aspect, I think, with other humans in a shared space, I don't know if it's unique. It might sit in my unique sort of Venn diagram splodge of what is right for me.
Sure.
Which makes me think I should do more of it.
I think you should. And so I'm getting the impression that Morning Creative doesn't fulfill the perform need for you. Or does podcasting in general do any of that perform need? Or does it fill it just like a little bit, but not fully because you want to be in present with people in person?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the perform need is not simply being visible. There is an aspect of slightly putting on not a facade, but like a countenance or like a version of yourself, which can be a little bit more playful and a little bit more like the version of myself in Morning Creative is probably more like the version of myself that I offer as a creative coach.
Yeah.
Which is walking a very safe line.
Yeah.
Kind of using as much as I can, using my words carefully, you know, all that kind of stuff. And not wanting to paint too far out of the lines, not because I want to be bland, but because I want to be, I don't want the sharp edges there. That's all. Whereas with something like List Envy, it's a slightly different version. It's a slightly more, it's an entertainment format, and it's me trying to be an entertainer and having fun being an entertainer rather than someone who's trying to deliver value.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, that's not,
for sure.
You know? Yeah. And you know, if you're listening and you're of the coaching mindset, you're like, of course you deliver value. And that's not what I mean.
Right.
Yes. Entertainment is value. You know, I know that's not what I mean.
Right.
Yeah. So that's that kind of performance thing. It's like,
yeah. You're a big part of the message with Morning Creative and your creative coaching style is that your art has value. Like that's, that's a message that you have repeated.
Yes.
What's your TBM engagement like at the moment? Are you doing anything with it? How does it feel for you?
To be honest, I think so. For a while, I've been not avoiding it, but just sort of putting it on the back burner. I think at the moment, I want to actively not do it.
Okay.
Because it's putting me in a space where I want to be more present for the moment and not have a big thing that I want to manifest. I don't want to live in that sort of... You know, I can live in a space that's like, oh, it'd be cool if that happens.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, there's been some other stuff that has come up now that my you know, things are starting to cool down. My brain is starting to sort of relax a little. There are other things that have been missing from my life that have started to raise their voice. And for the time being, I think I just want to swim in there's a degree of unpredictability coming up. There's some stuff to navigate, and for I think for a moment I kind of just want to live in a space of like I'm not trying to make anything happen.
Yes. Okay. So I have some, not probe, but a little bit of pushing.
Yeah, thought you might.
I want to start off by saying, like, completely understandable, and obviously, you know, that's a great path, great approach. Like, you do you, you know, standard caveat. And I think with what I want to say, like, you can do that, which you just said, and my, like, suggestions, if you want to take them at the same time, putting aside the manifesting your dream life or your list or whatever, easy. Like, that's the carrot that gets a lot of the women that this is marketed to come to it. Like, that's great. But as we've discussed before, TBM is a toolbox of a bunch of just really cool things that help you unlock, unblock, you know, all that kind of stuff, with or without the bringing stuff into your life. Like, that's, they're a bit separate, and they just kind of help each other. There's a bunch of different courses, and there's, like, the Inner Child and Shadow and a bunch of other stuff, which I would just highly recommend going through each and every one of the courses. They're all so good. But there's a set of three that I think could be really, especially one of the three that I think could be really impactful for you right now, and has nothing to do with manifesting a dream life or manifesting your list. And it's all about where you are in the moment. And that's rock bottom, rut, and next level. It's kind of a three package of courses. And I would suggest that the rut workshop would be maybe where you might want to start. Like, the rock bottom is like when you really, like, you've had something devastating happen, you're really low, and that's not where you're at. You're in kind of a middle ground, a liminal space, as you've called it a couple times. And like, next level is when you've, like, you've done a lot of work, you're getting successes and stuff, and it feels like, wow, this is really great, I'm in a new place, but like, what do I do here? And that's not quite where you're at either, but you will get there. Yeah, I would encourage you, if you felt like you wanted to try a course that is within the same language, but not doing the thing that you don't want to do, you might want to try that out. I think it's, I've done it, I think, twice, and it's really helpful to take stock of where you're at, how you got there, what the next steps could be. It's got some good thinking and good processing and stuff in it.
Yeah, thank you.
And along the same lines, the unblocked Inner Child and Unblocked Shadow, like, those are such standard, pinnacle, amazing workshops to do. They're good for any time. They are highly recommended to do multiple times. I would also just blanket, oh, like, an always, like, That's something you could get to if you wanted to do some work. Like, that's some great work to do.
Yeah, I think partly where I am is, right now, I've done a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for a bit, I think I might not.
Take a break. For sure.
And I know, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, like, I, you know, love the pursuit of knowledge, and
yeah,
I'm always, you know, striving, and that's fine. But for now, I think I might just keep that within work hours.
That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Nice. Well, thank you, Mark, for indulging me in in all those probings, and, you know, my unsolicited advice and everything like that. I appreciate it, and it's great to hear where you are right now. And, you know, I've been missing you in my feed, so
yeah,
it's just good to have a little check in on where you're at.
Thank you.
So, as always, correct me if I'm wrong.
Keep singing.
Keep singing. This episode was lemon.
Effing lemon.
Oh, yep, gotta get the microphone noise right at the beginning.
We have lots of,
make sure it got a nice little, Foley work in here. Yeah,
it's this microphone is so It's got a fully metallic body, so you don't get that like plasticky noise that you used to get on mics. You know, that really sort of claggy kind of plasticky sound that you used to get when you used to move mics around. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I like having a boom arm.
Well, I'm glad you don't have that.
Yes.
Okay. Oh boy. Okay. I'm gonna just
stretch it out. Stretch it out.
Oh, it feels good. I just got out of physical therapy.
Boy, are my arms tired.
And then I'm going to after we record, I'm gonna go to a car accident massage, which I'm really excited about because it's always really great. And then I'm off for my retreat for the weekend.
Gosh,
silent retreat.
Wow, it's happening.
It's happening.
Gonna get all the talking out now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a talking purge right now. All right. What do we want to start with?